Thomas Maggs is a lonely little boy. When Mr. Mack and Me, Esther Freud's new novel, opens, Thomas is 13 years old. His brothers have died, his father, who runs a bar, drinks too much of his own stock, and beats his son. Thomas dreams of sailing away. The First World War descends on a small English seacoast town in Suffolk, where he lives. Tourists stop coming, blackout curtains go up, village boys enlist and go off to war. While Thomas walks the beaches and marshes, it is there, he meets a man in a black cape who puffs on a pipe and stares at the waves, as if looking for clues. Thomas thinks he must be a detective, but he turns out to be Charles Rennie Mackintosh, the architect and designer. He's got an accent. People in town wonder who he is and what he must be doing there. The story of an unlikely friendship between a lonely little boy and an isolated artist in a world growing dark with suspicion is at the heart of Esther Freud's new novel, Mr. Mack and Me. Esther Freud, author of Hideous Kinky, The Sea House, and other novels, joins us from London. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Guess all strangers do arouse suspicion, but why this one in particular?
Well, I think what's interesting about this particular area of the coast is that it was actually, it always attracted a lot of visitors. When the war was declared, it was considered to be an extremely vulnerable and dangerous part of Britain, right opposite Flanders, that everybody who could leave left. But Mackintosh and his wife, who are by now very impoverished, they didn't leave. And it was their staying longer than they should have stayed, that aroused so much suspicion.
Yeah. People would distrust a man who sketches?
Well, I think that they might not have. But what I found when I did my research was that every day, every week, new posters went up outside the village hall, outside the post office, saying, "Beware of loose talk." It took everybody's imagination and everyone's fear and tried to direct it somewhere. And I think in this environment, even somebody who sketched seemed suspicious.
And let's understand, Charles Rennie Mackintosh, whose name can draw thousands to an exhibit in museums these days, was on the outs during this period of time.
Yeah. I mean, I knew very little about Mackintosh when I started writing the book, but I did know that he'd spent time in this village, which is a village I know very well, a small area of Suffolk. And I, for many years, lived in a cottage that used to be the village pub. And what I discovered was that Mackintosh had stayed in the village pub. So I found myself kind of curious about this man, this extraordinary man who made such beautiful buildings and designs, had actually stayed in the house that I was living in.
Mm. You were the daughter of an artist.
Yes.
In addition to being the great-granddaughter of... Heck, I don't even want to have to mention his name. But in any event, your father, Lucian, was the preeminent British artist of his time.
Yes.
How do you think that connects you to this story?
It's interesting because I think when you have something for nothing, you forget that you have it at all. So I was very focused on all the things I didn't know, all the research about the First World War, all the research about Mackintosh, trying to create the story and the structure. And I wrote very easily and happily about Thomas's watchfulness as Mackintosh draws this series of flower pictures. But of course, I'd forgotten that I'd spent my own childhood doing something extremely similar. I didn't live with my father. He was that kind of an artist. The art was at the absolute centre of his life. But I used to visit him in his studio, and I used to look at his paintings. And, you know, I gave all that to Thomas, honestly, without thinking ever about it. And it was only when I'd finished the book that someone pointed out, "Oh, well, obviously, you have this great insight."
And you think they're right?
They are right, because once I thought about it, I realised, of course, you know, I really did watch those paintings grow. And I can even remember how old I was by looking at certain of my father's paintings and remembering, oh, yes, I was 10. And I remember he did that painting and he was still doing it when I was 11. For then, that seemed like the most ridiculous amount of time to spend on a painting. Once I was in my 40s, I thought, God, he's finished that painting already. He's just like a demon.
Without giving anything away, there's a sequence in the novel where Charles Rennie Mackintosh will end a note saying MMYT.
Yes. I think that that's permissible to discuss. One of the real insights I had into the man himself were a collection of his letters that he wrote to his wife over a period of about a month. And he signed those letters MMYT. And I realized that it meant, "My Margaret, your Toshi." Toshi was his nickname. And I just thought that was so touching. And in fact, the letters themselves are incredibly, incredibly romantic and touching and say beautiful things like, "It's a week now since you've been gone, and one less, I hope, till you return."
Boy, and makes it hard for the rest of us who are sending text messages to our spouses, doesn't it, to come
where
up
you?
With something that...
You late. It's a tragedy.
At one point in the novel, you see those initials and you begin to think, oh my gosh, maybe he is passing secret signals somewhere to someone. Mm. And I guess in a sense he is, but it's the oldest secret of all, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess I was following, you know, you're reading the novel through Thomas's eyes, and Thomas isn't sure.
Yeah.
Thomas really wants this man to be his friend and his mentor, but is he somebody he should be suspicious of? You know, and so we go on that journey with Thomas, and I wasn't sure, you know, entirely what Thomas was really going to discover for himself.
I don't ask this to be polemical, but you read this novel and you wonder, are we also living in a time where suspicion comes very naturally to us?
Yes, I think so. I think in a way with the increased media, people are alerted endlessly to what they should be fearful of. And in a way, that's a real reflection of what happened with all the posters and the things in papers saying, you know, you must watch and listen and always be vigilant. And I think people feel like that now, and they're suspicious of people in a way that almost always is unnecessary.
Esther Freud, her new novel, Mr. Mack and Me. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a real pleasure.